when we get baptized, we're going in front of the whole congregation and we're saying, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I am burying my old self, and I am rising new with the resurrected Christ.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Son of God and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We are in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The Son of God is the name of this sermon. If you guys want to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, say amen when you got that. All right, let's please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Let's please stand in reverence to that. Thank you. Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. I'm reading out of the ESV today. Then Jesus came to Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this gathering. Father, I pray that you will anoint me to speak your word and that you will open all of our hearts to receive it today. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've got a few verses here that speak volumes, as always, right? And today, we're going to be talking about the ministry that John had and the significance it had to bring forth Jesus' ministry. John's baptism of Christ would launch Jesus' ministry. Moses brought the law, but grace and truth came through Jesus, the Son of God. Now understand that Moses, in the Old Testament, he gave us a set of rules to live by. Did he not? And how many of us in here have followed the Ten Commandments? That's right. None of us, right? So something else had to take place. Grace. Since none of us could live by the rules and fulfill the law that Moses had given us from God, God had to bring about a new contract, a new deal. That new deal is Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God. What we cannot do, Jesus fulfilled. Understand that Jesus is about to be baptized in this chapter. And he is going to have a 3-year ministry. This church is almost 3 years old. It's coming soon, this summer. June, I believe. 3 years is how long Jesus' ministry lasted. He started when he was around 30. He was crucified at 33. He fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. So anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as being the Savior, who accepts that, they're under a new deal called the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Contract. Jesus' ministry was about to begin with the baptism. The baptism of Jesus, as we just read, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him, John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. John was baptizing for the repentance of sin. Jesus had no sin and did not need to repent. There was no sin in Christ. There was no sin. That's why John was like, whoa, what are you doing here? I don't get this. John resisted baptizing Jesus, thus acknowledging two major things: his own sin. First, John was doing the right thing. See, there was a crowd of people out there, and John could have easily said in his heart, well, I'm better than them, and I'm better than her, and I'm better than all of these people. But no, he did not compare himself to other people. He compared himself to the one person he needed to compare himself to, Jesus. That's who he was comparing himself to. You're coming to me to baptize you? No, you should be baptizing me, Lord. See, that's coming to God in reverence. That's coming to God in humility. That's coming to God and leaving your neighbor out of it. That's coming to God in prayer and not saying, Lord, fix everybody else because I've got a problem with them. No, that's coming to Jesus and saying, look, you got to fix me. Why am I even baptizing you? I'm the one with the problem. That's what John was saying. But he was also saying Jesus. He was also acknowledging Jesus' perfection. See, when we compare ourselves to other people, we're actually comparing ourselves to flawed individuals who are just as broken as we are. No worse. We're all broke. All of us are. But when we look at Jesus and we see how perfect he is, we realize that he didn't deserve to go to the cross. He was murdered. He was innocent. He was found guilty even though he was innocent. And so we look at the perfection of Jesus and we compare ourselves to that and realize that God gave us his perfect son, and we didn't deserve it. That's how you reach the spiritual humility that you need in order to receive Jesus. You can't get it. You can't get it by looking at other people and comparing yourself to them. Well, at least I'm not a murderer. A lot of people say that to me. How many of you heard that one? At least I'm not a murderer. I never killed anybody, but the Bible says if you got angry with somebody without a cause, you thought murder in your heart. And God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. Another way to look at it is how many of you had a friend that said a lot of good, nice things to you, but their heart wasn't with you? Amen. There are many reasons why Jesus was baptized. Repentance of sin was not one of them. Jesus identified himself with the sins of his people, much like Moses, Nehemiah, and Daniel had done. See, Jesus, he wants you to know that he is one of us, but he's not like one of us. See, there's a difference. He was a human, but he was also God. That's where the similarities end. He had none of our sin nature, but he could identify with that. In other words, the need for a Savior. He understood our pain. Do you understand that when we live in sin, we are actually suffering? Now, there are some sins out there that we enjoy for a season. No one's going to sit up here and tell you that some sin isn't fun at some time. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it, right? The problem is that you reap what you sow. And when the sin has grown full, you begin to suffer from the sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get mixed up in something, You ain't supposed to be doing it. It's fun at first, and then it comes to get you. We suffer because of sin. Jesus identified with that suffering. Jesus identified with the people he came to deliver. So to identify with people, you need to do what the people are doing. He was expecting them to be baptized. Therefore, he did so. That was one reason. Number two, Jesus validated John's ministry in front of the mass of people. Here you have a man who was saying, God sent me. I'm a prophet. And then Jesus shows up and he says, I'm validating this. You see, I can call people into this church to serve all day long. But if God hasn't called them first, we're going to have trouble in the church. That's why when many people come to me and say, can I do this for you, Pastor? I know you're really busy. Can I help you with that? And I turn them down because God hasn't spoken to me about that person yet. It's not that they're useless people. That's not the case. It's you got to be called by the Holy One before the man can call you. I'm just a man. So Jesus was calling out in front of the people John the prophet. He was validating that. This is my guy. He works for me. Praise God. There's no greater honor. Number three, the baptism marked the beginning of Jesus' own ministry. Woo. 30 years, he'd been studying the Word of God. He'd been meditating, praying, getting ready for a three-year ministry. How many of you guys know that God will often take you through life and you feel like you're sitting still, you're going nowhere, but he's preparing you for something? Now, in Jesus' case, it was a three-year ministry, but he had to get there through 30 years of preparation because he was a man too, and he had to read his Bible. I do not believe for a moment that Jesus came out of the womb speaking scripture. I do believe that he studied the scriptures. He meditated on the scriptures. He prayed to the Father without ceasing. So he was subject to some of the things that we're subject to. He bled, didn't he? Did he not bleed? Did he not feel pain? He identified with us, didn't he? Praise God. So we're talking about somebody who was all God and all man at the same time. Now, I don't know about you. If I was God, I wouldn't choose to suffer, but that's why I'm not God. That takes a lot of love to be in a position of no pain, no hurt, no suffering, and to make yourself lower than the angels, to identify yourself with your creation. There's a song, What If God Was One of Us? Well, he was, and he is. Number four, Jesus aligned himself with the tender-hearted masses who also got baptized, rather than with the Pharisees and Sadducees who refused to be baptized. Understand that the religious leaders, they were better than everybody else. They were getting in the same water with the sinners, but Jesus did. Make no mistake that we serve a God who doesn't look at your poverty. We serve a God who wants to be with sinners who are repenting. He wants to deliver people from their sin. The Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, they said in their heart, why should we be baptized? We're already perfect. We don't need to be baptized. We weren't born into sin. This was their state of heart. Jesus, his baptism showed the people who also got baptized, hey, I'm one of you. I am one of you. I had some people come in here one time, and they told me that Jesus didn't want anything to do with them because they were poor. And somebody taught them that. They said, we've never been to church, but we were told that the one church we tried to go to that we weren't dressed right because all we have are these clothes, and they weren't very healthy looking clothes. They had rips in them. They were homeless folks. They wanted to come and sit and listen to the gospel, listen to the preacher. And they were not admitted into the church because of what they were wearing. This is not the God that we serve here. If it was about your clothes, we all need to go home and change. That's ridiculous. You can't come to church because of what you're wearing? And don't get me wrong, if it's provocative, that's a little bit different. We don't want everybody's eyes on the wrong person, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. But Jesus aligned himself with the tender-hearted masses. Look at that word, tender-hearted. How many of you guys think you're tender-hearted in here? I'm not. That's why I need Jesus. That was a trick question. Praise God. Number five, Jesus' baptism illustrated his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism symbolizes a person's dying to old self and rising to a new life in Christ. Understand that when you accept Jesus Christ, you should come up to me and you should say, I want to be baptized. Because what you are doing is you're saying that your old self is now dead. And what happens is it's a symbol. It's a look, how many of you guys in here are married? Any married people in here? A couple of people? Okay. Did you do that in private with no witnesses? When we get baptized, we're going in front of the whole congregation and we're saying, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I am burying my old self, and I am rising new with the resurrected Christ. That's what was going on here. Jesus was about to begin a new life. His ministry was about to take off. So the latter part of this scripture, verses 16 through 17, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all together in one place, signifying the Trinity. The word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible itself, but the concept is taught very clearly. Okay? The concept is this. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are what? Three distinct persons. Each person is fully God. There is only one God. Okay? But each distinct person has a role. God, the Father, is the Father, right? Jesus is the Son. He can only do what the Father is doing. Amen? And the Holy Ghost is the Helper. They're all God. All three of them. I know it gets a little mind-boggling, doesn't it? But they all have three separate roles. Jesus is the Savior. The Holy Ghost is the Helper. God is the Father. Amen? But they're all three God. So we don't worship three gods. We worship one God, three distinct persons. When the Father spoke, he was quoting from two Old Testament verses, okay? This is very significant. At the baptism, when the Father spoke, he was speaking from the Old Testament. Psalms 2, verse 7, I will tell of a decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. That was the first verse that God the Father was referring to at the baptism. The second one was Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. This is a prophecy from the Old Testament foretelling Jesus' ministry, Jesus' birth, Jesus' work on the cross. God is saying, look, I'm going to uphold my chosen. I want you guys to think about this for a moment. Jesus came to help you, to uphold you, to strengthen you. But we have our part, don't we? Faith. If you don't believe what somebody has done for you, if you don't believe in what somebody is doing for you, you won't accept it. And if you don't accept something, you won't live it every single day of your life. And the Bible says that we have to pick up our cross daily and follow him daily. Okay? So here's the thing. If Jesus came to uphold God's chosen, what does that make us? We're his chosen. The Bible says that we don't pick him, he picks us. Amen? So we have a helper. We got Jesus Christ that will help us out of our sin. We got the Holy Spirit that will help us to live a sinless life. Now, does that mean we won't make mistakes? Because I know I make mistakes all the time. But what it means is that we are in a constant state of repentance. We are turning away in our hearts from sin, and we want to go forward with God. We stumble, we fall, but Christ is always there to pick us up, brush us off, and set us back on the path if we're willing to follow him every day. Every day. Praise God. Otherwise, Jesus died for nothing, right? Because, I mean, if we can't be a witness for him because our own lives are messed up, what's the benefit of being a Christian, right? Christians aren't better than anybody, but we should be better off. We should be better off. We should have joy in our hearts. We should have patience. We should have long-suffering. What am I talking about here? The fruits. And Jesus, he said that all those that don't bear fruit, my Father cuts off and casts into the fire. That's that chapter. We're going to do a Matthew chapter 3 summary, and then we're going to dismiss, okay? Because we went through this whole chapter. You guys remember what happened in this chapter? The prophet John's birth was a miracle since his parents were way beyond childbearing years. Now, that's sort of like Abraham's promise, wasn't it? See, God is always doing something very special when he's telling parents, you're going to have a baby and you're beyond childbearing years. This is a call on someone's life when that baby shouldn't have been born. But God made it possible because he was giving the people a sign. Some people need signs. John was known as John the Baptist because of his ministry of baptism. That was his ministry. His ministry was a ministry of baptism. You guys remember the book of Acts where the fellows came up and they were baptized by John? But they said, no, you didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the water dunking ain't going to do nothing for you if you don't accept Jesus Christ. You can get wet all you want. You can bring a bar of soap with you and try to clean yourself up. That doesn't work. Okay? That just shows your intention. Your baptism is nothing but a symbol of your intention. But until you accept Jesus Christ and you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, you haven't been baptized by Jesus. Okay? Now, John and Elijah had many similarities. You guys remember that between them. Nonetheless, John was not a reincarnation of Elijah, but rather a prophet with a similar ministry and calling. John's clothing and diet were well suited for the desert. That indicated that perhaps he was raised in the desert. We don't know a whole lot about John's childhood, but we do know that he was chowing down on some locusts and some honey. But we know that that's a diet that you'd have to be on to sustain yourself for a long period of time. Plus, the clothing that he was wearing signified he knew something about living out in the desert. Now, if any one of us just packed our stuff up to go live in that desert where he was from, we wouldn't last a couple of days because we wouldn't know how to do it. All right? We would make some very, very bad mistakes that would probably send us to our graves early because the desert life is not easy. So this is an indication by his clothing and by his food choices, that he knew how to sustain himself in the desert for a long period of time. So that's an indication of that. John's ministry was to call the people of Israel to repentance and to announce the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That was his ministry. Everybody in this room has a ministry. Did you know that? Pastor, God doesn't want to use me. If you knew the things I'd done, well, I don't need to know the things that you've done. I know the one who has forgiven you for those things. And once he has laid the forgiveness out on the table, all you have to do is accept it and walk in it. But see, sometimes we listen to other voices. And John didn't listen to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees. He listened to the voice of God that said, I want to use you. And I want to do something through you. And he submitted to that call. What we have to do as a congregation is we have to listen to what God is telling us. Everybody in here has a skill that I don't have, okay? I can't do everything. But we're all good at something. The question is, do we allow God to use the skills that he has given us for a ministry or for ourselves? That's the question. And John was a good speaker, and John was a good man. But he used what the Lord gave him to benefit not himself, but the kingdom of God. As Christians, we are to die to ourselves and forget about ourselves and ask God, what can I do for someone today? Sometimes it's just inviting them to church. Sometimes it's just listening to them as they're pouring out their heart to you. Without judging them, without giving them advice, just listening to them. They just need a friend. Sometimes it's just go see somebody in the hospital. Go to their home. They're not feeling good. Little things like that, that sometimes we feel like we don't have time to do. But boy, when it's our turn to need it, we certainly want our friends there, don't we? How many of you guys ever been sick and nobody come see you? It's no fun, is it? And the Bible says we're to love one another as ourselves. In other words, if you want someone to visit you, to listen to you, to care for you, you should do the same. Amen? Jesus' ministry officially began with his baptism. We're going through the chapter here. And in conclusion, I want to say John's ministry was not long by today's measure, but proves that no matter how short a ministry may be, it is very important to the plans of God. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what God is calling anyone in here to do unless the Lord tells me, okay? Sometimes he'll tell me. But this is what I do know. Everything that the Lord asks of you to do is very important and has a significant impact for all of eternity. Because he might ask you one day to talk to somebody, and you might not want to. He might ask you to give the word of God to someone, to tell them about Jesus, and you may not want to. And I'll tell you something that happened to me, and we'll close this up. I was working for a telemarketing company. You can stone me later for that. And I was out at lunch, and the Lord said, go talk to that man about Jesus, standing by the brick wall. We had this wall that separated outside. It was like a little barrier. And I said, this guy ain't going to listen to me about Jesus. Why would you have me go talk to him, Lord? It made no sense. I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this was not the guy that would receive. That wasn't judging. That was discernment. So I go over there and I tell him all about Jesus. I knew the guy. He worked with me. That's how I knew he didn't want to hear this. I'm pouring it out. And I feel the anointing of the Lord come over me. You know, when you feel the power of God to give you the power to speak. And I'm just giving the gospel full force. And I look at the guy and I'm ready for an impact. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe that got through to him. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, whatever, man. Boring. And he walks off. This guy didn't even receive it. So I'm coming around that brick wall. And there was a guy I didn't know. He bumps into me. He goes, were you the guy just talking about Jesus? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, could you tell me more about it? He was listening on the other end. I didn't know him. So the Lord had me speak to someone I did know who I was comfortable approaching, even though I didn't think it was going to work out, so somebody eavesdropping could hear it. Had I not obeyed, this young man ended up repenting from the sins that him and his girlfriend were involved in. They ended up getting married. And I tell you what, this guy serving in a church today, that's a testimony to the obedience of ministry. When God asks you to do something, it doesn't always make sense. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's time consuming. Sometimes it's just a small thing. But like John, we obey. We walk with God. We don't ask him where we're going. We thank him for where we are. Did you guys hear that? We don't ask God where he's taking us. We thank him for where we are. Because without him, we could be in a far worse place. Amen. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.